Don't you get mad at me, but if you do, you'll just have to. That's all there is to it. So just get prepared. This wicked thing includes names like Billy Graham, Robert Shuler, Bill Hybels, Rick Warren. You could go on and name dozens of people that are in Neo-Orthodoxy. The basic thing that it says is that there are people out here that are going to be saved that never heard the name of Jesus Christ. What I'm going to do in the next few minutes is just read some scripture and let you decide where you think you are about this question. So open your Bible to the 16th chapter of Acts. Paul and Silas were in prison in the city of Philippi. They were there for dismissing the demon from the young woman. They were in the stocks in the inner prison. The prison guard had been charged with the responsibility to keep them in the prison. He had done all he could to secure them. And in the middle of the night, verse 25, chapter 16, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Once and only once in the Bible is this question asked. Only once is it answered. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway, immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Believing in Jesus Christ is not merely mental and intellectual assent and agreement that Jesus existed. It is not just a confession of that, but belief means trust in him as one Savior, fully, absolutely, completely, unreservedly. People who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are not saved. Now, I want to say this because it ties to things that we teach and preach here. We believe and hold that man cannot believe until he is first quickened and made alive. He has to be born again before he can believe, have faith, and repent. We all believe that. We believe that his quickening or being born again is a sovereign act of God without any cooperation or will on the part of the man. But right on the heels of that, or as a consequence of that, he hears the gospel with renewed ears, and he believes with his heart, and he's saved. He repents because he changes his mind about what he had thought before. His whole mind is turned in another direction, and it causes then conversion, that is, a change of his life, so that he now not only thinks differently, but he goes in a different direction. That's what happens when a person comes to Christ. But now I said that to say this. There are people who say that there are perhaps millions of people out there that have been quickened who will never hear the gospel. I adamantly refute that as a lie. It's not true. It's absolutely false. It's untrue. You say, how do I know that? Because it's purely speculation. It has no substance in Scripture whatsoever. But we do have the Word of God, and that's what we must measure our belief by. Now, I'll come back to this in a minute, but I just want to talk to you out of the book of John. I want you to turn back there to the third chapter. We all know where that is, and we know what it says. So we want to look at it again, John chapter 3. Now let's start with the verse that the whole world knows. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just this word. The phrase that whosoever believeth in him, I want you to notice that, is a subject. It's not a proposal. It's not an invitation. It's not an offer. It's all a subject, and it can be read, whosoever is believing in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now look at this verse. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Amen. That's true. He that's believing in him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There is an absolute positive and an absolute negative. All who believe in the name of the Son of God are not condemned. All who do not believe in the name of the Son of God are condemned already, because they have not believed in his name. I assert this. God has chosen a people. God will quicken those people and make them alive. They will hear the gospel. They will believe, and they will be saved. Every last one of them. Someone says, how do we know? How do we know that who the people are? We don't have to know that. We have to be faithful to the place and the people where God puts us. And if there is a gypsy in the middle of Africa or Timbuktu, that I can't go to, God will raise some man up that will go to him and preach the gospel to him, and he will believe and he will be saved. He will hear it because he must believe it in order to be saved. He that believes is not condemned. Now, maybe you think that's a stringent view, but I don't care who says what, and I don't care if it hair-lips the governor. I'll stand on this word because that's the only thing I can stand on. And when people say it's not so, and I read it and it says, if I believe, then I'm not condemned, and those who do are already condemned. I believe it means just what it says. And I take it at that. Now, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says, he's talking about Jesus Christ. Let's start with the 10th verse. Be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, that is, Jesus is the stone, which was set at naught of you builders, which had become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, beloved, if that's true, the Muslims are unsaved, the Buddhists are unsaved, the Shintos are unsaved, and all of the myriad of the false religions in India are unsaved, and all who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, have not believed and trusted his name, are unsaved. Let me say this to you. You need, if you're already not, you need to be saved more than you need anything else. You need to be saved more than you need to draw the next breath. You need to be saved more than you need to live another day in this world. Your greatest need is to be rescued from condemnation. If you're not saved, you'll perish from the presence of a holy God in both hell and the lake of fire. Unsaved sinners deserve to be cast into hell. We all deserved to be cast into hell, but some have been rescued. God's justice never stands in the way. It never objects against God using his power at any moment of any time in any day to send a sinner to hell. His justice cries out for an infinite punishment to sins of man. God's justice says of the tree that brings forth the grapes of Sodom, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? The sword of divine justice every moment of every day is waving over the head of condemned sinners, and nothing but the random mercy of God keeps it from wielding and cutting you off into eternity. Unsaved sinners are already under a sentence of condemnation. Not only do they justly deserve to be cast down into that awful pit, but God has already passed sentence upon all mankind, and all mankind stands condemned in unbelief. They must believe or be forever damned. Every man unsaved properly belongs in hell. That's his place. Jesus said, you're from beneath, I'm from above. It's to that place that the sinner's bound. And in the righteous judgment of God, he has already assigned him there. As an unsaved sinner, dear friend, if you're here today, you are the object of that very same anger and wrath of God that's expressed over all the men who are this very moment burning in a fiery hell. Already, God is angry with great numbers of people now that are on the earth. His anger boils. God hates the wicked and wickedness. Let's be clear about that. God loves his people. He loves the sinner. He loves those that he shall save. But his love is not upon all men. It's upon his elect. And that, my friend, is a biblical truth. There's no question about that in my mind. Now, what does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God's only begotten Son. He is the eternal Son of God, born of a virgin, just as the Bible says. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is the Anointed One. He came in human flesh. He's the Savior of his people. He's the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. He's the Lord of all. He died on a cross outside Jerusalem, was buried, and rose from the dead after 3 days and three nights, and has ascended back to the Father. This same Jesus shall come again and catch away his people unto himself at the last trump, at the resurrection, when he returns to bring them home to himself. That where he is, there they shall be also. He is both Lord and Master. Let's know for sure, as Peter said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ. Peter says he's Lord of all. Bible says God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. And in the end, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you have Jesus Christ, you have life. If you don't, you don't have life. You're already condemned. I believe the Bible means what it says, and I don't want to live my life with inferences. I have just as much right to infer something as somebody else. But the bottom line is this book, and we must stand there or be forever lost. It's the book about our salvation. To believe on Christ is to have confidence and faith in him. It's to trust in him. It's to have rely upon him. He did for me what I could not do for myself. He died for me when I should have died. He bore my sins when I should have borne my sins. And he took them all away, Brother Craig said, from the beginning to the end. Every last one of my sins were laid upon him. And I thank God that I come to the place to believe and trust in him who came to save sinners. If you believe in him, dear friend, just from a human point of view, without any expression to election or God's sovereignty or any of those things that people that are firstborn of God probably never know. From a human standpoint, if God brings you to the place where you see yourself a wicked sinner, where you know that you sin to come short of the glory of God, where you know that you're condemned in the sight of a holy God, and you see Christ crucified for yourself, you know that he was buried and rose again the third day and ascended into heaven, and you believe him, you trust him, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And that's good enough for me. And folks, if you don't have him, you don't have anything. Because it's more important than any other single thing in life. And I'm so glad for the opportunity to know him and know the free pardon and forgiveness of sins. Now, I want to say this to you. You better be very careful about what you listen to. And I want to tell you, I'm not jealous for you to listen to me. Not in the least. But if you're listening to people that don't speak according to this word, you better get away from whoever you're listening to and get back to the Bible. You can rely on this, but you can't rely on the man. I don't care how smooth he is. I don't care how polished he is. I don't care how educated he is. It doesn't make any difference. The first preachers were unlearned and illiterate men. But the Bible says they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus and they believed his word. There are people today that are PhDs and I don't know what else. I say, none of this is true. That there are good people all across the world that are going to come to God in heaven that never heard the name of Jesus Christ. And I go back and I hear what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. To him be glory forever. I'm happy to serve him and exalt his name. I appreciate your attention. I appreciate you putting up with Craig and I on these long days on the second and fourth Sunday. It's just good to be here. And I appreciate the studies. I appreciate being with you today. I'm finished. Do you have any comments?